The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Going on, everybody. It is Rob the Hammer Hammerschmidt from the Rugby Rant Podcast Show. And just as promised, we are delivering the Coach's Corner as we build up to 2025. I'm super excited about this. It's been awesome to connect with the coaches so far as we build up to 2025. And I hope we can deliver some things of interest to everybody out there that's chomping at the bit for this upcoming season. It should be an absolute cracker. The league is getting better every single year, and no doubt a lot of it has to do with the gentlemen that we're bringing in to lead these clubs and help these players put the best product available onto the pitch. And I've got one with us right here. It's a very special guest for a lot of reasons, folks, but it is none other than Chris Latham. Chris is the head coach, newly appointed head coach to the Chicago Hounds. Chris, how the heck are you, mate?
Yeah, really good, actually. Obviously, super excited. It's a fantastic opportunity, and really looking forward to getting to Chicago and getting started.
I know those of us in Chicago are certainly excited to have you here. For those that don't know Chris or aren't familiar a bit with his CV, perhaps new to the Hounds, perhaps new to MLR, he comes with one amazing pedigree. And two of the top pieces to that are, of course, he is a World Cup winner, 1999 World Cup winner with the Australian Wallabies, played for the Queensland Reds. What a powerhouse team that was. Some amazing players. I think there were, and I have a jersey. This is why I'm fanboying here, but I have a jersey, beautifully signed jersey by that Queensland Red teams in 2000. And there's 8 World Cup winners on that jersey, including Chris Latham. So it's a great piece, but what amazing group of talented players.
Yeah, I was very, very, very fortunate as a young player to join when I joined the Reds, that there were so many top quality Wallabies in the team at the time. And, you know, when you're playing with some of the best Wallabies that Australia's ever had, you know, in Tim Horan, John Eales, the list goes on with those types of players playing at the Reds week in, week out, training with them. I was obviously very blessed to have those guys.
Oh, 100%. And that had to have been like the golden age of Australian rugby for sure. And hopefully with that big win against England, just a couple of weeks ago. Hopefully the Wallabies can return to that level, because the Blood of Slow matches were amazing at that time, just absolute derbies. And it's always good to have a strong Wallabies team. Hopefully Joe Schmidt can get those guys back going. They have some talented players in their own right. But you also played in, you played a bit of footy in league as well. Can you just talk about, you know, how you, you know, your rugby background and how you got into coaching as you transitioned from the pitch?
Well, I never really wanted to play. I never really wanted to coach when I finished playing. It really didn't enter my mind. And I finished playing my days in Japan. And after I retired, I came home, and it was probably 6 months after being home, I got a phone call from the interpreter that we had at the club that I was at. And him and I had become very good, close friends. And he was in Brisbane, well, coming to Brisbane with one of the coaches that he was starting up at a new franchise with. And they came to actually speak to someone about coaching. And basically I said, oh, mate, I'll take you out to dinner. We'll have a steak. And then, yeah, you can have the interview and be done. And so we went out and had dinner, and dinner led to a few drinks, and we had a really good time. And then I got a phone call the next morning saying that that coach wanted to meet up with me again. So I thought, oh, this is all righty. And so I took him to a coffee shop, and we had some coffee and breakfast, and yeah, he offered me a coaching job. So at the start, I basically took it as I said to him that I'd go for 6 weeks. And then after 6 weeks, I'd come home and see if I enjoyed it, see if I liked it, see if I could coach to start with. And after 3 weeks, they asked me to stay full time. And I said, oh, listen, I'll extend that 6 weeks for another 6 weeks, and then we'll reassess. And that happened about 4 or 5 times. And then before you know it, I was there for 8 years. So I was 8 years coaching at that same club.
Wow. That's a great story. It starts with drinks and it ends in 8 years with a particular club. What an amazing story, an amazing journey. And we know you're not unfamiliar with the MLR. Of course, you were going to be coaching with Utah. Some things in life got in the way, and then you ended up back in Seattle. Was it just last year as an assistant coach? So what do you like and enjoy most about coaching in the, you know, MLR, coaching in America? What excites you about that idea?
It's actually pure and simple. You have to coach. And that's what I love. I love coaching. I'm passionate about coaching. You know, during my whole career, I was so blessed to have some of the best coaches in the world coaching me. And I had some of the best players mentoring me, you know, during my career. And, you know, when I first started playing rugby, I'd moved from a small country town when I was 18, when I finished school, and I turned up at a club called Randwick, which is a pretty ironic, pretty iconic club in Sydney. And the first training night that I was there, who I didn't even know who he was at the time, David Campese came up to me and said, you and I are going to train tonight, and whenever we do partnered work, it's going to be you and I. And I just went, oh, okay. And, you know, after the night had finished, a few of the young players came up to me and said, why were you training with him? Like, why did he keep picking you? Do you know him? And I was like, no, who is he? And then when they told me, I just couldn't understand why. And, you know, that continued for the 3-4 years that I was at the club. You know, Campo would just, you know, help me, mentor me from someone who he never knew. And I guess from that, and then as that grew, you know, with different coaches and different players, you know, I really started to understand what, you know, what being a player and the duty of, you know, being a true rugby player was about. And it's about not only learning your craft and trying to be the best you can, and you know, establishing and conquering your goals, but you've also got a duty to pass down, you know, from what you've learned from previous coaches, previous players. And that's something that I have great delight and great satisfaction in doing. So coming to the MLR where, you know, you're getting players that may not have played before, have played very little rugby or have had very little coaching. So to be able to actually get in and coach them the basic skills, and then move through that and then start to advance those skills is something that I really enjoy, and I love those connections. So the MLR was, you know, a perfect choice to be able to do that.
It sure is, and it's interesting because that's always a constant source of conversation about those crossover athletes. America has some really good athletes, but those athletes don't necessarily have that rugby background, that depth of rugby understanding and knowledge necessarily, and so that there's a tremendous upside for you get the athletes like, for example, Corey Daniel from Old Glory DC. Of course, Corey, you know, a four-time national NCAA qualifier, All-American, just an amazing athlete who's now, you know, a tackling machine for the USA Eagles. So it's great stuff. Now, I got to ask you, that Randwick Club is historic, and certainly Campisi, for those that don't know, just an absolute legend. As if Chris Latham isn't legend enough for us, Campisi, quite a legend in his own right. But I got to go back to Randwick. Of course, Stephen Hoyles from that storied Randwick Club. Are we going to see a Randwick trophy or a Randwick shield that's going to be get passed back and forth between the two?
No, it's interesting. You know, obviously I played with Hoylesy, and you know, it's funny when you come against coaches that have played or had anything to do with Randwick, and you always see that little bit of flavor in there, that Randwick flavor in the way that they coach and the way that they play. And so, yeah, it'll obviously be interesting when we come up against them.
Yeah, it'll be absolutely awesome. It's getting me looking forward to these matches, as if we're not looking forward to all the matches of the season, chomping at the bit, like I said before, to get the MLR going. Now, new coach, obviously, you know, three seasons, we're going to the third season for the Chicago Hounds, and the Chicago Hounds have essentially, you'll be the third coach. For those that don't know, Sam Harris let go in the middle of the season last year after about a year and a half at the helm. Rob Weber jumped in as interim coach, and he had already been contracted with the series over in England. And then they worked on negotiating with you and, of course, landed you. What a great signing. I've got to ask this. What are some of the challenges that you expect to encounter in 2025 as the new coach of the Chicago Hounds?
Well, mate, it's surprising. You've only really got to look at the last probably six, seven games of the season. And if I'm honest with you, you know, when I was at Seattle, I was looking at Chicago thinking that they're the form team running into the finals. And it was actually, I thought we'd be playing Chicago in the final. But obviously a very good, tidy New England team stopped that and obviously stopped us in the final. But, you know, a lot of people could look at it and say, you know, the coaches are gone and it hasn't been running the script. And, you know, there'd be a lot of apprehension moving into the role. But to be honest, I'm excited with the fact that, you know, their last seven, 8 rounds of the season, they were playing some pretty fantastic rugby. So I see a lot of upside into what we can build on. And a lot of that stuff mainly comes in around, you know, focusing on the detail, because there's some phenomenal athletes. Obviously, we've got a lot of players that either play for the Eagles or are playing for Canada, and obviously we blooded a couple new players as well in both for Canada and for the Eagles. And then we've got some, you know, a splash of players that have been playing quite regular in the Premiership as well this season and previous seasons. And obviously internationals from Spain as well and a few others. So, again, the roster is full of quality players. It's going to be more about, you know, making sure that we focus on the detail, we get what we need to get out of them on the pitch and get it right. But to think that I need to come in there and blow everything up and be totally different would be very naive on my part, given the fact that, you know, they finished that season so well.
You know, it's interesting. One of the things that I think Sam was challenged by, and I think the world of him, he's a tremendous coach, was just because of the roster, trying to keep everybody happy, right? Trying to keep everybody engaged because there was such a talented roster. It was so deep. You've got to give everybody, you feel like you have to give everybody their minutes, and it can be quite a challenge. So I got to ask you a little bit about you and your style. For those that don't know, you haven't been around, haven't really sharpened their focus on Seattle last year, or not familiar with your experience over in Japan. How would you describe your coaching style to fans that are not familiar with Chris Latham and his coaching CV?
I'd focus very heavily on the process. I'm very big on perfecting the basics of the game, the basic skills. And, you know, obviously I like the players to, you know, have their say and be able to be able to run the ship. I mean, at the end of the day, it's those guys that are on the field. And if they aren't able to run the ship during training and during the week, then what hope do we have of them running a game and trying to execute what we need them to do and for the 80 minutes on the field. So again, I suppose I'm very, very honest, you know, and I think that's come from a lot of times of in my career. Obviously I've been left out of teams, dropped, some obviously with explanations where I felt justified, some where it just left me confused, and some, you know, not getting told anything. So again, and it's no dissimilar to anyone else, it's not as if I'm crying poor there by myself on those things, but I think at the end of the day, honesty, you know, goes a long way, and not everyone wants to hear honesty. It takes a certain level of maturity and a certain level of respect is needed when delivering honest appraisals of people. And, you know, at the end of the day, rugby is a sport where, and especially when you're in a squad, we can't lose sight of the fact that we are a squad, we are a team. Now, if you're lucky enough to be the 23 that are rostered for that week, it doesn't lessen the value of someone that's not in that 23. It doesn't lessen their value of what they've inputted during the week. And I think that's an important message that, you know, we need to make sure that we understand, and I get across really quickly, is we all have egos and we all want to be in the starting team. And if we're not in the starting team, obviously we want to be in the on the bench and get our opportunity. And if we're not in both of those, it hurts. I understand that. I've been there and I've experienced it. But ultimately, at the end of the day, to get through this season and any season in the MLR, you need a strong squad. You need a squad that at any time a player, when called upon, needs to perform. And these boys need to know that. We need to be mature enough to understand that. And, you know, we have to sacrifice our own wants and sacrifice our own needs for the detriment and for the better of the team. So that's basically, you know, what it comes down to. So, you know, I think at the end of the day, if we can conquer those small things, get our basics right, but then most importantly, have fun. You know, I'm a coach that loves to have fun. I want to enjoy coming to work. I want to enjoy the people that I'm working with. But when it's time to switch on, we switch on. But we can have fun while we're switched on as well.
I like that, mate. I like it a lot. And what's interesting is the Hounds Academy is really up and running right now. They've had a I think they're two matches deep, played very well against the Midwest Thunderbirds, and then just as of the recording, just played very well up there. I think it was in Ontario. I know you're not in the United States. Visa process is working a little slower, so we're not happy with the INS. But nevertheless, are you getting a chance to watch some of those young guys that might kind of be on the cusp of the Chicago Hounds? Have you had a chance to put eyes on those fellas?
Yeah, 100%. I watch probably 90% of their trainings, if not 95% of their trainings, and obviously watch the games as well. So, and I think if I'm being honest with you, that's, you know, having an academy, a genuine academy that's focused on not only just recruiting, but recruiting to stock your levels of your main team is what's going to make this league survive. It's what's going to make USA Rugby strong, because ultimately at the end of the day, that's our job. Our job is not only to win titles and win titles, but it's also to create and produce USA Eagles. And when you've got an academy completely focused on doing that, it becomes, it becomes very exciting. It becomes becomes a heartbeat of its own, separate to the main team, because ultimately that's what's going to be the succession plan. That's what's going to be the reason why the Chicago Hounds will live on longer than all of us, because, we need to keep finding the talent. We need to keep producing talent, so then the Eagles, the Chicago Hounds and the Eagles can be successful.
100%. I want to talk a little bit about some of those individuals that we might see as future Hounds that were just drafted here in 2024. The Chicago Hounds picked up three draft picks. At number 10, they picked up Peyton Wall from Indiana. At number 22, Jake Kinevac from Utah. And at number 34, Alex Hernandez from Marion University. What do you like about these lads as players, having watched them, their trainings, and having watched their sessions in recent matches?
Yeah, I think Peyton Wall has a huge future in the game. He's a pretty big boy for a young kid. He's very dynamic, very strong running, very quick. The one thing that I loved about his game, especially the game on the weekend, was I think it was his first try that he scored. He scored it on the opposite wing, and that's what you need from your back three. You need a back three that wants to work, hungry to work, hungry to find the ball, but then also you want your wingers to score tries. And, I think it's a skill that people probably dismiss or don't think it is a skill, but scoring tries is a skill in itself. And it's, you always, people that score tries, you always hear, oh, geez, he just got a knack for being in the right place at the right time. Well, it's not a knack, it's a skill, this kid's got it, and he's got a physique and pace to go with that skill. So he's a kid that I'm really looking forward to seeing progress. But in saying that, he's obviously got some pretty good players in front of him already at the Hounds. And obviously we saw three of those guys on the weekend, two playing on starting on the wing and another one on the bench who came on as well. So he's got some stiff competition, but again, if he's smart and he sees that competition and doesn't run from it, he'll only become a better player for it. Jake, I think, is a very, very big, powerful number eight. He was definitely a very big power, known for his power in college football. He now needs to learn how to use that power in the MLR, because the MLR is a huge step up in physicality, especially around the contact zones. So he needs to both with the ball and without it. So he needs to learn to use his body a little bit better and smarter in that sense, because he's not going to get away with obviously running high or running a few of the lines that he, you know, got away with running at college. But again, a kid that loves to get his hands on the ball and he's hungry to run and he's hungry to put his head and shoulders into a tackle. So it's good to see. And obviously, Hernandez, probably a position being prop that is very difficult to get local guys that are going to be with the skill sets to be able to do it. So, again, getting these guys young and making sure that they understand that this is a journey. It's going to take time. You've got to learn your craft, especially in specialist positions. You know, obviously your front row, hooker, your two props, second row and your 10, you know, definitely specialist positions like that take time. But again, very, very impressed so far with what he's got. And, you know, we've just got to make sure that he's patient and learns his craft.
Oh, for sure. I mean, props, that's what they, first of all, good friend of mine down there in New Orleans, Fitzy, has said, you know, if you could find an American prop to put on your roster, they're like a unicorn. They're really valuable. But it does take quite some time for props, particularly American props who haven't been playing a long time, to develop. That being said, I've seen all three of these guys quite often this fall, and I really liked certain elements of each of their games. Like you say, Peyton Wall, so dynamic. They really good under the high ball as well. I mean, fearless under the high ball, something obviously that's needed, a critical skill set in the MLR because of the physicality that you mentioned. And of course, Jake Kinevac, just what a strong, hard runner, a nice young lad. And like you say, he's, you know, just to bring that powerful skill set to the forefront. No better person to do that than Luke White, right? To learn under Luke's tutelage, because certainly Luke is a powerful runner of the ball as well, a physical individual. So it's really good. It'll really be good to see these guys develop, and hopefully they work themselves into the Hound squad. I want to move forward a little bit. You mentioned on a couple of points there, talking about some players that are on this roster. Of course, Eagles, Mark O'Keefe. You have Nate Augsburger, Noah. Congratulations to him on getting his first cap. And then, of course, from Canada, you have Mason and Noah Flesh, and you have Jason Higgins, and of course, Lucas Rumball. So just talent, you know, in abundance here in this roster. How exciting is to get it, you know, to get this caliber of player along with those guys who have prem experience on the pitch and get them going as we lead up to 2025?
Yeah, it's super exciting, isn't it? When you look at the roster, puts a lot of pressure on the coach, doesn't it? It's but again, you know, that's what I've signed up for, and that's what I love. And you know, you've got to have depth, you've got to have talent, and I feel we've got that in abundance. But that's only probably a quarter of the picture. You know, it's how well we can come together. It's how well we gel. It's going to come down to, you know, again, the whole squad buying into what we're about. You know, looking at the draw and the way that the draw goes this year, it's going to take a squad. You know, it's not going to be, at times we're not going to be able to just pick the same team week in, week out because of the way that the draw's gone. So, and you know, there are going to be disappointments, but it's, again, it's the maturity of the group, how well the group can handle each other and the boys can, you know, deal with those issues is going to be what it comes down to at the end of the day. Because yeah, we've got size, we've got speed, we've got absolute mongrel in us as well. And you know, I love all those things about a team, and you know, everything that I love in a player and in a team, you know, we've got. So Yeah, I mean, you know, you can look at the roster and say it's exciting, and it is very exciting, but there's a hell of a lot of work that we need to do before we even look like getting on that pitch, and we don't have much time of a preseason to do it. So, it's going to be an interesting 4 or 5 weeks before our first trial game.
It will, and yeah, it's one of the complaints by fans, is the recognition that we probably need a little bit more of a preseason. But you know, a young league obviously takes time to get to develop the finances to be able to support that kind of structure. Nevertheless, two things I want to talk about there. One of them is a draw you mentioned. I want to get to that in a moment, but before I do, I want to touch on the roster itself. As you said, you know, what a fabulous roster to be able to work with. So I have to ask this for fans of the Hounds, for folks in the league that are paying attention to the Hounds. At what positions do you feel Chicago's most deep? You must have a depth chart that you've looked through with your coaching staff. So at what positions do you feel you're really deep, where you can sustain, you know, an injury here or there, or really get past those tough points in the draw? And at what positions are some players going to have to step up?
Yeah, I think obviously with the leadership there of James English, I think he's done a really, really good job at, across the board in all positions, being quite strong with good, healthy depth. I mean, you know, going into the season with potentially six props, is a very healthy position with that, because nutrition wise, week in, week out with prop, and injury wise, you certainly do need that coverage. Again, same with hooker. So the entire front row there, you know, obviously second row, finding American tall timber or tall timber for the MLR is obviously very difficult. So again, having a back row that's versatile, that can both do second row and be on the flank is definitely important there. And I think we've got pretty good coverage in there. And then obviously your 9 and 10 position, having, you know, one, having depth, but two, having enough experience in your number twos, is very, very important, because at some stage, you know, you're going to have to play your 9 and your 10 that aren't going to always be your first choice. So again, having that depth there, but having the experience in depth, and that is always very difficult. But I think we've got that. We've done that really well also. And then, yeah, we've got versatility in our, you know, our centers and back three in abundance. So again, having that ability to have players that can play multiple positions in that center / back three is hugely important. But I think, you know, obviously as having an established fullback, I always look at things like the spine of the team, and, you know, generally that's your tight head hooker, one of your second rowers, your number 8, your 9, your 10, one of your centers, and your fullback. Obviously, I kind of like to work off that being the spine of the team. And then from that, you're really just adding in, and you're trying to add in again to match that quality of the spine. And if I'm being honest, I think, you know, we've done that really well at Chicago.
Well, for sure. There's certainly an experienced spine, you know, obviously with a guy like Butch at 2, and you've got at back row, of course, Luke White and Lucas Rumball, you know, can fill in that 8th position if needed. Jason Higgins is returning. Of course, the 10 spot is the one that's challenging, just because, you know, we've just announced Carts on his way down in New Orleans. So it'll be interesting to see who fills in at 10. And 15, you got Carlisi back. So, you know, and Bryce Campbell, of course, just is such an experienced center working in there. So certainly the spine of the team is intact, although the guys we're going to have to see as Hounds fans were some of those positions, or who fills in some of those positions. But I want to ask you this before we move away from personnel. and talk a little bit about the draw as we finish up the interview. Who are some signings that fans should be excited about? Now, I want to be careful here because the Hounds, unlike some teams, have held some things back, whether that's on purpose or whether that's, you know, by design, or whether that's just due to some visa situations. Can you talk about any signings that have been announced that fans should be excited about?
But to be honest, I really at this stage don't want to really just circle anyone, because again, I wouldn't be doing justice to the squad, especially being a new coach coming in. And that's not because, you know, I don't want to upset anyone. It's purely because I'm genuinely excited about the entire roster. So to circle two or three guys out, or four guys, however many people are doing, I think it's something that I'd say to the fans is, you got to get out and you got to watch every game. You got to come to the stadium and watch as much rugby as you can, because, you know, we're really planning on making sure that, you know, we're going to play a brand of rugby that is exciting. Obviously, we want to play a brand of rugby that's going to give us success and we're going to get wins. But, you know, I think across the board, we've got guys that want to entertain. And I think we've got guys that really want to get their hands on the ball and play some good footy. So, I really hope that I'm not putting a downer on your show or anything by not mentioning anyone. But, I just don't feel I'd be, you know, doing justice to anyone by just naming a couple.
No, it's all good. I think that's a great response. And again, I don't want to put too much pressure on you because the Hounds have been a little bit stingy. Again, you know, just a different approach by their staff, which is great. It should make for excitement as we see some of these guys be discussed and be put out there in the weeks and months to come. But I want to talk about, you mentioned performance of the lads and as a squad as a whole. So, you know, KPIs is a term that's been thrown around a lot, key performance indicators. And it's been thrown a lot around within rugby. So what are your 2025 KPIs as we approach this season?
Well, you know, obviously we want to win and we want to win a title. That's obviously it. But, you know, I'm in full understanding that there's a process. And, you know, that obviously that process starts with the 4 or 5 weeks of preseason that we have. And again, I guess KPIs there is how well we can gel as a team, how well we get on as a team, and what our capabilities, what kind of physical state we turn up in for day one. Because again, and I've said this to the boys numerous times now, if we turn up in a shape where we need to chase and we need to be fit, then, you know, the rugby's going to suffer. If we turn up in a state where we can train well and train hard right from day one, well, then rugby's going to flourish and we're going to really enjoy ourselves. So, you know, I think the KPI there is making sure that the first 4 weeks as we gel well and we start to get the basics of our game down pat and we really got to good understanding of where we're heading and where we want to be. And then, you know, obviously after that, you know, you're breaking it up into blocks. And, you know, our first block of 5 games at the start of the season, I think we've got three at home, 2 away. I think it's really important there that, you know, we have a great understanding during that 5 weeks of what our game, we're starting to understand what our game is, what the DNA of our success is going to be, and then, you know, how we're going to progress that and how we're going to move forward in becoming the team that I think we can be. And then the following section, I think we've got I think it's a 6-game block where we've got 4 away and 2 at home. Again, I'm only going off memory here, so I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. And again, that gives us that four games away gives us a really good opportunity to continue that growth of becoming a really tight family, becoming a team that's happy to be around each other, and building that strength in relationships in this area, and then obviously taking our game to another level. And then our last block, I think it's five games, and that'd be, again, I'm pretty sure it's three at home and two away, or it could be two at home and three away. But again, whatever that is, it's about, and that's going to be a bit of a funny block, that last block of games, because we've got irregular games through the week where we've got a 13-day turnaround straight into a 5-day turnaround, straight into a 3-day turnaround. So again, this is why I keep talking about it's going to take a squad effort. It's going to take players that are going to be disappointed at the start, are going to be disappointed during the mid-season that they haven't had the games that they would have liked. But there's going to be games where we're going to need them to perform to be able to keep us where I'm hoping we're going to be on the ladder come the back end of the season. So again, it's about making sure that we're tight as a squad, we're performing as a squad, and we're happy to bleed for each other as a squad, not just as individuals.
Well, that was some fans, for those that are watching this series, a really interesting and unique insight into some coaching thoughtfulness, breaking down the season into blocks. And I love the approach of kind of having a little bit of different focus for each of those blocks based upon where it is in the season and a little bit based upon, you know, the home and away schedule that Chris talks about. They're really great stuff there. And the importance placed upon if players are prepared for the season well, for preseason, then you can spend more time and focus on getting the rugby right as you get into the season. A really important message for young athletes. You know, if you prepare yourself individually, you can make your team better prepared because you can focus on the things, you know, the rugby things as you prepare for a run-up to a season. I want to end this great interview with talking about the very element that you just spoke of. April 13th and April 18th, you go from home with the anthem to away at Seattle. I'm sure you're going to want to nip Clarkie in the bud there in Starfire, probably, right? That's just a short 5-day turnaround there. Again, you have another one May 19th at home against RFCLA. And then you go away to the anthem, again, a 5-day block. And then the tough one you mentioned right there at the end of the season, May 31st. And that is against NOLA, a tough team that you guys nipped there in the playoffs last year, and then turn around after 3 days and play on June 4th. Houston, the very team that you start the season with. How do you manage these short windows with the lads?
Yeah, again, I think as a head coach, or as a coach, you've got a responsibility to your players for their safety and their well-being. And that's, you know, that's priority number one for me. You know, and I say this to all the players that I coach, and, you know, I treat them like they're my kids, like they're my son. And when I say that, I don't mean in a sense of that's the way, you know, I'm talking to a little kid or anything like that. Like my son, he's 17 now, and I've got a daughter that's 26. But I have the same empathy and care for them as players as I do for my kids. So, and you know, I'm forever, always looking out and being concerned for their welfare. And I think that's very important that these guys understand that first and foremost, I care. And then secondly, it's about making sure that you're making the right choices for the right reasons. So again, that's why I like to break the season up and theme it and have all those things in place. So by the time we get to that last game against, I think it was Houston, you said, I really hope that, you know, the result of that game, and don't get me wrong, every result is I want to win. I hate losing, and I'm very passionate about winning and I want to win everything. But hopefully by the time we get to that game, you know, the results aren't going to change where we are on the ladder or what position we're going to end up at the end of the season. So, again, you plan as a coach, you plan for every scenario, but ultimately the biggest plan that we can have in place is that we've got a squad that no matter what position we need filled, we have a player that's ready to go and there's not going to be a dip in performance when he comes into that role.
And I suppose the fortunate thing is those are the last two matches. So, you know, you talked about the training blocks. If you can get those first two training blocks right, you should have a pretty good idea of how you can manipulate your 23-man roster in those two matches, that you can both manage player personnel and player welfare well, but also manage the win column as well in the scoreboard. So it does play a little bit of an advantage. I think there are some other teams that are going to really have some challenges throughout their schedule because of where these tough blocks land. But Chris, first of all, from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for your willingness to join the show. I know fans gained some valuable insights from your thoughts and your approach to the Chicago Hounds and being the new man at the helm here in 2025. I know they can't wait to see the Chicago Hounds get on the field. I can't wait to see the Chicago Hounds get on the field. Thank you so much for joining the show. It's been absolutely awesome to have you join for 45 minutes and talk about your philosophies and approaches to the Chicago Hounds and to coaching.
No, pleasure, Rob. I've obviously really enjoyed myself and well done. I'm just, like I said, really looking forward to getting to Chicago. Everyone that I speak to keeps telling me they've lived in Chicago. They loved it. They'd go back in a heartbeat. It's one of the best places to be in America. So, I'm super excited. My wife's super excited. I just really can't wait to get the full potential out of this Chicago Hounds team. And hopefully we can bring that championship.
100%. You will no doubt enjoy the city. You will no doubt enjoy the people. And I believe 100% the bottom of my heart that you'll very much enjoy this organization, the ownership, the management, all tremendous people. And they're all working towards the same goal, which I knew you were working towards, bringing an MLR shield to Chicago. That would be absolutely amazing. And Chris, as an aside, I was listening to a local sports radio station and they were having a conversation about sports in Chicago. And one of the things they were talking about is the question was asked, how many ownerships are truly committed to winning? And you know what the answer of the host was? Peter Burnick and Chicago Hounds. Peter Burnick and the Chicago Hounds.
Nice.
And for rugby growing in America, for me, I shed a little tear at that moment that, you know, sports radio, we're on the radar here in Chicago and we can't wait for great things to come, because I know you're going to make that the Chicago and its people know about the Hounds even more with success in 2025. So, folks, that brings us to a close. Again, I want to thank head coach Chris Latham from the Chicago Hounds for joining me. And we can't wait to continue to bring more of the coaches from the MLR to the Coach's Corner here as we approach 2025. Stick with us, check back with us. It's going to be awesome. And I know that everybody cannot wait for 2025. We can't wait either. And we're so looking forward to growing rugby one more fan at a time. Chris, thank you so much for joining the show, mate. We can't wait to see you and your lovely wife back here in Chicago.
Can't wait. Thanks a lot, Rob.
Cheers, mate.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel. because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.